Up next, Luna talks with Anna Paulina Luna, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.
The American people wanted to leave Afghanistan, but not like this. Not in disgrace, not in shame, and not in a way that's stranding Americans behind enemy lines and getting our soldiers killed. But that's President Joe Biden for you, building the Taliban back better. Today, I explain just how bad things are on the ground. This is Luna Talks with Anna Paulina. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to this Sunday's episode of Luna Talks with me, your host, Anna Paulina Luna. As you know, between this last episode on Wednesday and now, we have a lot to cover, unfortunately, on the topic of Afghanistan. According to the Department of Defense, August 26th, which was only a few days ago, is and has been the deadliest day in a decade for our armed service members. And what's even more interesting is the media is not covering the amount of mass casualties that our service members experienced. I happen to have a friend that is working out of the hospital in Ramstein, Germany, where many of these service members are being medevaced to. And I can tell you that from what we're hearing over there and from what I'm hearing from service members still in the military, that it is to the point of horrifying. And I remember seeing a text message come out that said, honestly, it's lucky that none of us were there. And it's been a really, really rough 24 hours for some of these guys. So please continue to keep them and their family members in prayer. But I bring that up because so many people, if you see just the reaction across the country from Democrats, Republicans, and independents, so many people are completely horrified with what they're seeing on television. Maybe it's the fact that we live in a time where people have access to social media, or maybe it's the fact that people across the board don't feel right about the circumstances in which we left Afghanistan. You know, obviously people wanted to withdraw from there. I was one of them, and I still am. But I can tell you that the way in which that military withdrawal was handled was completely wrong. When we, the people, said that we wanted to bring our troops home, we didn't mean in body bags. And it's sad that I even have to say that, because currently this administration is so focused on pushing their own agenda that they've lost sight of the fact that policy, good policy and bad policy, have real life and death consequences on the national and international stage. And we are currently seeing that. And it blows my mind, because you have people that are saying, well, don't make Afghanistan political. Don't make it about party politics. We should just be focusing on the humanitarian issue that we have currently going on in this country, and also to the humanitarian issue that we've created in Afghanistan. Well, you know what? It is party politics. There's a president, okay, Democrat president, that went into office, basically convinced half of the nation that mean tweets were bad and that he could do such a better job. And now you have the death of Americans on his hand. You have thousands of stranded American citizens that are stuck in a country that is currently being overthrown and occupied by the Taliban. The very same Taliban, mind you, that took down our World Trade Centers. The very same Taliban that killed so many of our American troops as we sent them to their death years ago fighting terrorism. Meanwhile, Beltway Washington, D.C. sits there and lectures the American people on extremism that exists within our own military. I mean, is that what we've really come to as a country? I refuse to sit here and shut up. And I don't think that you should either, because what we are seeing is gross negligence. What we are seeing is the wealthy Beltway Washington, D.C. crowd that is so concerned and occupied with hanging out at their garden parties that they've forgotten what it means to represent the American people. They have no skin in the game. They don't know what it's like to get a knock on your door at 4 o'clock in the morning because you had a family member that was shot, or because you lost your sons or your daughters. They don't care about the American people. What they care about is China. What they care about is dividing this country so much so that we can't have conversations with our family members anymore at the dinner table on Christmas or Thanksgiving. They are dividing our country based on class. They are dividing our country based on race. And they're using this topic now, mark my words, you're going to hear it first, they are going to start dividing this country based on refugee status and whether or not we should accept the thousands upon thousands of refugees coming from Afghanistan. Something that just recently popped out of the news is that they have found people that have fled Afghanistan as, quote, refugees that have tried to enter the United States, and they are trying to vet as many people as possible, but they cannot catch everyone, that have flagged on terrorist watch lists. These are the same people that committed 9/11. These are the same people that are trying to enter also our country through the southern border that want to commit terrorist attacks. And here you have members of Congress, every single member of Hollywood that was quick to jump on the Joe Biden bandwagon is completely silent about what we're seeing happening in other countries, except for maybe Angelina Jolie. She was a little crazy, I'll give her that. But you know what? She at least spoke up. She at least said that what Joe Biden had done was wrong and that he'd created a humanitarian crisis. And I think a lot of other people probably think the same thing too. They're just too afraid to admit it. So if you're as angry as I am, which I know some of you are, if you're as upset and feel like you can't do anything, I tell you, channel this. Make use of it. Don't forget it, because we need your help. People have asked about what a good call to action would be, and I would say go to find out whoever is in your district that is running for office and that's a conservative. Sign up to volunteer, make phone calls and phone bake for that person, because you know what? In 2022, when Republicans take back the House and the Senate, which I do believe that they will do because Americans are pissed off. We are pissed off for what we are seeing happening to this country. We will vote to impeach Joe Biden. And it is going to be members of Congress and members of Senate with a backbone that don't want to see the corruption take place in this country anymore that are going to get it done. No more electing some of these spineless legislators that just want to hang out at garden parties in Washington, D.C. We want people that are fighters. We want people that will fight for Americans here and abroad, just like those same Americans that Joe Biden left when he derelicted his own duty as president of the United States. And with that, I want to talk a little bit about our service members. I've been getting hundreds and hundreds of messages from family members, military service members, talking about how they can seek religious exemption from taking the COVID-19 vaccine. I'll say this once and I'll say it again. I believe in people's right to medical freedom. I am personally vaccinated against probably everything under the sun, especially being that I did serve myself. But I don't believe that people should be forced or coerced into taking vaccines that they don't want to take. And you know what? For some people, that does fit under religious exemption. So I actually was able to do some research. And what I found is that the Pentagon and the Department of Defense both put out a statement saying that it was up to each branch of service to specify what had to be done for service members to seek basically a waiver for taking the COVID-19 vaccine according to their religious preference. And so what you have to do is you have to contact your supervisor in your chain of command and tell them that you are seeking a religious waiver for the COVID-19 vaccine. What will likely happen is that they will require proof from the church that you attend, meaning you'll have to go to your pastor, your rabbi, or whoever it is that leads your services and basically request a letter stating that according to your religious beliefs and according to whatever it might be within the vaccine, that you are not wanting to take the COVID-19 vaccine and that your pastor will agree with that. And then you submit that letter to your chain of command. If you get pushback from your supervisor, then you go to your first sergeant. If they give you pushback, then you go above them and you go to your commander. If they give you pushback, then you go to the inspector general and you take it all the way up to the top. I do believe this is people's rights, whether or not they are serving in the military, to decide whatever they're going to put into their body. And I am definitely here to help provide information that you might find useful. So I can tell you that I've already known multiple service members to do this. I actually had contacted my pastor, and it turns out that multiple people have already requested those letters. So if you are thinking about doing it, you're not the only one. I'm all about people pushing back, especially when you see a gross overreach in people's freedoms. And frankly, I don't want to end up like Australia. If you don't know what's happening down there, check out my Instagram page. I've been posting some pretty incredible and insane footage of what the Australian people are going through. And frankly, now we're hearing that they are now building, I don't know if it's Australia or New Zealand, but they're building COVID quarantine camps. And frankly, anytime in history when you see people going to camps, it's usually never a good thing. So without further ado, I would like to bring on the guest today. His name is Dan Ball. You might know him from his very spicy and outspoken show on OAN. He is also a veteran. And he's going to be back with us right after this short break to discuss everything Afghanistan, everything military strategy, and how we can help take back this country in 2022. Stay tuned. Welcome, Dan, to Luna Talks. And thank you, everyone, for sitting with us through that quick commercial break. Real quick, if you can just tell the listeners a little bit about yourself. You are a military veteran. What was your branch of service? And also, too, what did you do in the military?
Well, any vet out there, and I'm sure you know our nickname, the Chair Force. I did my 4 years. I went in and I signed up working for the Armed Forces Radio Television Service. So you're kind of like a combat journalist. If we're in combat, then you would obviously go document it, you know, rifle in one hand, camera in the other. Fortunate for me, the years that I served, we were not in any conflicts. And I say that because I have a lot of combat buddies that saw combat, that stayed in longer than I did, that, you know, are affected with so many of the things, PTSD, traumatic brain injury. And so I'm thankful for my service. I'm thankful I could serve my country, but I'm also thankful that I didn't get to see combat. And now we see what's happening in Afghanistan. Of course, I know we're going to get to in a minute. And you go, you know, your heart just aches for these Marines and these soldiers that are being put in this situation right now. And I don't know if you want to go there yet. So I'll hold back my tongue on what's happening.
I mean, I'm glad that you're segueing, because what we're also seeing now too is that the military is actually really making a really big effort to suppress, I think, a lot of the information that's coming out of Kabul currently. They're telling military members in Ramstein, Germany, that are handling the casualty cases not to document, not to post anything. And they're really trying to silence the American people. Yeah, absolutely. I have a friend actually in Ramstein currently, and they were told not to talk about the amount of casualties that they're getting, because although the news is reporting on the horrific incidences of those Marines getting killed, they're not talking about the numbers of casualties that were actually facing troop-wise. And so I think that they're trying to suppress and bury that evidence. And so obviously, you know, you were in the military, you documented from a military history perspective and really kind of as a liaison to the civilian population. But when you hear about what's happening and how freedom of press, especially right now, is very important, it's really great to have someone who's had that experience on both sides in the civilian world and then also too in the military world. But I mean, just like you said, to kind of segue in Afghanistan, what's coming out of the White House? I mean, even just yesterday, they had said that the Taliban was given a list by our own government with military service members that were behind lines, with people that had worked with our own armed forces, and then also to, you know, refugees that were wanting to leave the country, which is basically a Taliban hit list. What are your thoughts?
It is. I had on a Afghanistan combat vet, and forgive me, because this whole week we tried to really focus on people who'd been there at some point over the last 20 years and definitely recently to give us more insight, since we feel we're not getting it from the government, just like you said. And I recall one of them could have been a colonel or one of the brigadier generals we had on. But regardless, he had said that he knows for a fact that the Taliban guys would stand there, or pardon me, the Afghan soldiers we were training would stand there, and they would be texting Taliban members where the locations of the troop movements were at. So you have Afghan soldiers that, one, were either executed, fled the country, or turncoat and went and worked for the Taliban. And so our guys and gals who were there have to trust this Afghan soldier who, oh, by the way, just happens to be over here texting the Taliban going, yeah, so we're going to move this over here, we're going to do this over. And I mean, it's insane. So obviously, and to make your point about the media, when I was in and worked for Armed Forces Radio Television Service, just so you know, because I'm sure there's maybe military journalists still there, maybe they've pulled them out, you're only going to get to release and say what command lets you release and say. So that's one of the issues I had, and that's why I love serving my country. I would do it again in a heartbeat, and I recommend to a lot of young people, I wish we could kind of push them in.
They should serve, yeah.
Like, right? Give them 2 years to serve their country. But anyway, so even if a journalist is over there that works for the government and wants to give us the accurate information, they're not going to be allowed to, because man's going to stop them.
I mean, it's really, really great that you bring that up, because a lot of people are like, so you're literally trusting U.S. troops and lives with the Taliban, the same Taliban, mind you, that brought down the World Trade Centers and that we've been fighting for the last 20 years. You know, yet on the 26th actually was the anniversary of the death of one of our buddies, Forrest Sibley, and he was actually killed at a checkpoint by someone that was posing as an allied force with the United States. And basically they were mowed down because, like you said, the guy was basically a sleeper cell and waited until he could basically cause as much damage as possible and then unloaded on Americans. And what we're hearing now from organizations like Global Surgical Medical Support Group that have people on the ground is that they're talking about there's reports of vehicle-borne IEDs. So I think that before the 31st, it's going to get a whole lot worse. And I don't think that the American people are ready to see some of that footage that's going to be coming out of there. Because in the past, it really has been so centralized with what we see on television and controlled. But I don't think that big tech and the media can suppress everything that we're getting from some of these boots on the ground. And also, too, from even the refugees and the Americans that are stranded behind enemy lines.
Well, speaking of the refugees and terrorists, I know you saw that report. I think Breitbart and a few other folks did it. Over 100, and again, we've evacuated thousands, but over 100 of the refugees, they already have red flagged and said they could be possible terrorists. So we're evacuating them so fast that whatever vetting process we're doing obviously is not good. That's the 100 that they've told us about. So I kind of relate it to the southern border. They've told us they caught 212,000 last month, 200 the month before, 198, 178. You get my whole drift, right? Those are the ones we know of. So how many actually are sitting in a foreign land right now or possibly on American soil? We know that they're taking them to undisclosed countries and different military bases around the world. And some of those Globemasters, from what I was told, some of the big flights, are circling, staying airborne until they find a place to take them and refueling. I had on a brigadier general retired who flew missions in Afghanistan and was a commander of a C-17 unit while he flew those missions on the show yesterday. And he told me that very fact. He's like, look, I still talk to people that were under my command that are still in. And if they're looking for a place to land the plane with another 800, and he told me the number because they found out that day, as we all saw that picture, you can squeeze 800, and I think he said 23 or 832 when you're in a jam on that plane. Some of them are up there circling around, God knows where, refueling, waiting for either to get the go-ahead from our country at a base or one of our bases at a foreign country.
A lot of people are not talking about the fact that they have military age males. So in the military, we use the acronym MAM. So you have these MAMs that are coming to the United States that are unvetted, could be radicalized. I think that a big issue that we're going to have in the next couple of years here is instances of these people coming here and then engaging in acts of terrorism. And I think that a lot of people, especially within the media, are uncomfortable talking about that. You had Ilhan Omar, that's basically a sympathizer when it comes to these radicalized extremists. But the point is that when you are looking at really a long-term strategy and how it's going to impact our country, not only was there a military flaw in what the Biden administration did, but they're not thinking about the national security threats that exist in this country when you bring in thousands upon thousands of unvetted people from a country that has a history of extremism. I mean, do you think that the US government, and if Republicans take back the House and the Senate, do you think that Republicans should put a pause to immigration as a whole until we can get our own immigration process under control?
Yes, why not? I didn't want to interrupt, but you were saying all that about Afghanistan and we're worried about vetting terrorists there. And what do I think the administration, look at the southern border. Obviously this administration doesn't care about the safety of the nation or it wouldn't have had an open porous border since February. Joe can stand up there all day long and tell the American people, I've told them it's closed, and Mayorkas, the rest of those idiots can all claim it's closed, but because of the policy, and thank goodness the Supreme Court ruled early this week and did the stay in Mexico policy and reinstated it. Hello, thank you, Mr. Trump. He was right. But let's be real. And that doesn't go into effect right away because it got appealed. So you've had 7 months almost of anywhere from 112 up to now 212,000 coming in. It'll happen for several more months while it's under appeal. And if they cared about national security, they would get down there and they would put more troops on the border and we would stop this. You know, the number is low. I think it's only like 114 terrorists. And I could be high on that. But let's just say it's 14 or it's 5. I don't care if it's 1. But we know of terrorists that have made it across the southern border to date since Joe's open border policy. So if you cared about national security, Mr. President, oh, that makes me about throw up to say that phrase. Care about security, Joe Biden, then how in the hell, looking at the southern border, can we trust you to vet the ones coming in from Afghanistan? And you were talking about radicalization. Just because they're not radicalized now, it doesn't mean that young teen that's coming over with his mom and dad or whatever won't get here. And the Taliban knows who they are because we gave them a list And they start emailing them, talking to them online, just like they've done with terrorists in the past, and radicalize them. And now we've got homegrown terror attacks. And that's not a conspiracy theory. It's happened before. It could happen again, especially since we're going to flood our country with thousands of people from, oh, by the way, over 100 countries they've proven have come across the southern border.
It's really crazy, too, that this administration is, I mean, they didn't want to let in the Cuban refugees, right? They didn't want to let in the people that were actually fleeing communism that had general claims for asylum because they were going to end up basically shot and killed by their communist government. They couldn't get their vote. And then they didn't want to let in, you know, people that are fleeing, you know, communist regimes from other parts of the world, but they'll let in people that are unvetted, unchecked. You know, to kind of continue off of what you were saying, it's interesting. In France and in the United Kingdom, you'll actually not see a lot of the footage because they also have controlled media over there. But there was recently, several months back, a professor that was beheaded in Paris from someone that was an extremist. And so you have these stories taking place over there. You have these stories taking place in the United Kingdom. They only several years ago were taking in massive amounts of these military age male refugees, unvetted, unchecked, and look at what's happening in their country. So I don't think that it is racist to say that we have to get our own immigration under control before we welcome and open the floodgates to people that we have no idea who they are. We have no idea who they're funded by. And clearly, like you had stated earlier, they may have ties to terrorist organizations.
You xenophobe, just stop. You can't make those kind of comments. If they watch this clip, that's what comes out of their mouths. Trust
exactly,
me.
Exactly.
I know. Trust me.
So I actually want to segue and ask you about an article that came out from Vice magazine, but we're going to pause real quick for a quick commercial break. So everyone sit tight. We'll be right back after this quick break. All right. So about that Vice magazine article, it came out just on the 26th, so the day that all of those Marines were basically blown up by extremists in at the airport in Afghanistan or near the airport in Afghanistan. Vice magazine put out an article and the news title was calling the Marines neo-Nazis and saying that the Marine Corps had a high instance of neo-Nazis. You know, I know, I want to get your reaction, but you see these article headlines that Vice puts out. I mean, we literally just had Marines that took their last breath that were blown up volunteering to serve and defend the American people. And that's the article that Vice magazine puts out. What do you think the problem is with Vice magazine?
So did Vice they did all the interviews, wrote the article, had it ready. So they planned to drop it. It was done ahead of time. And then obviously tragedy happened, but they still dropped it. So they could have made the decision to not go to, I'm old, I say go to print, to go online. What happens when you're almost 50? I want to get the facts right because I didn't see the article yet. So they went to air with it or whatever online the day it happened in Afghanistan.
Correct. Correct.
It means they could have chosen, their editor could have chosen, let's hold that article or scrap it because that's in horrible taste when 13 Marines died in combat, but they chose not to. And correct. You want to know what I think of Vice? I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on this podcast.
You can say it. We're unfiltered on this podcast. Go ahead and say it.
Vice can kiss my ass. Are you kidding me? That's seriously one of the most disgusting things I've heard. I haven't seen the article, but just the fact that they're going to run one about some woke Nazi shit. You know, maybe if our generals like Milley and our CIA and intelligence agency wasn't so busy doing woke videos and talking about white rage in the military, they might have caught the fact the Taliban was starting to take over the country friggin' months ago. And if they'd have been monitoring the situation, they would have known, like I found out 2 weeks ago from a gentleman, Mr. Wheeler, who was in Afghanistan and came on our program about 3 days after he got back. And oh, by the way, his dad, I think it was Frank Wheeler, was one of the architects with Charlie Wilson and Ronald Reagan who helped get the weapons to the Mujahideen and the fighters back in the 80s to push back the Red Army, Russians. So this guy knows what he's talking about. He told me point blank, our intelligence agency knew and would have given this information to Biden months ago. The Taliban were going into the provinces, finding Afghan Air Force pilots and other commanders, pulling them out in the street and executing them and saying, when we take back over, if any of you rise up against us, we'll do this to you. That's why most of them either fled the country with the planes or the choppers or whatever, or are in hiding right now and ran, or they turned coat and went to work for them. Now, do you hear any reports about that happened months ago as they were taken over? I'm going to believe Mr. Wheeler. That's a fact as far as I'm concerned in my world. And I know Joe Biden got that damn intelligence. So for Vice to print an article when they don't even know what the hell is going on in that country, and then to disgrace 13 brave dead Marines, actually, I think it was 12 and one Navy medic, corpsman, got to get it right, is here's the thing. I've said this since I got this show on One America News. The mainstream media, from the coverage of the Donald Trump presidency, the impeachments, the COVID, and now this war, everything, Hunter Biden's laptop and Joe Biden's past, because of their cover-ups, their omissions, and their straight-out freaking lies and narrative, the mainstream media is probably the most treasonous organization and entity we have in this freaking nation. Worse than Joe Biden, because it has controlled and corrupted the minds of, I don't know, half the country. I hope not. 30-40%.
And they protected and really convinced the American people that Joe Biden was apparently a competent president. And you see what's happening now. But they were complicit in working with big tech. I mean, I was actually talking to someone earlier today, and he said, why is it that people aren't talking about how we should hold big tech accountable? Because a lot of people that weren't plugged in and didn't really see the truth how we see it and can't read it from all angles, a lot of these people genuinely thought that Joe Biden was competent and ready for that position. And now we have a situation, mark my words, it's going to get a lot worse. We're getting reports of vehicle-borne IEDs. We have the Taliban threatening and telling our own government what to do. We've basically up-armored them with the amount of equipment that they've commandeered. And you don't realize that these national policies, these international policies and decisions have real life and death decisions when it comes down to it. And because the American people have become complacent, you know, we're so caught up in what's happening around us and observing just the, you know, the 10 meter target. We can't see the impact of what's happening in the future, especially for generations to come. But you do bring up Donald Trump. And I know that you have an interview coming up with the president here pretty soon. I mean, how did you get that interview? Are you excited? What are you going to be asking him?
Oof. I'll tell you what, I get a little emotional even talking about it. I hope I don't start crying when I talk to 40. Well, and here's why. Let me just go back quick. So when you're a little kid on the farm in Northwest Ohio, and you live on the wrong side of the tracks, and so and you're broke, and you go in the military because you can't go to school. This story sound familiar?
Yes.
And then out, and you use that military training for the last 27 years in the same career field, journalism. And then you get to sit down with, I mean, up there with Lincoln, Reagan, and Trump. That's what it's going to go down as, I think, 100 years from now. It's a pretty cool feeling to know that the president is a fan and actually watches and thinks that you're good for the nation and that you're spreading truth. And how it went down, we've been trying for a year. I started, and here's some funny, ironic numbers. So I started at One America News on August 30th of last year, and the interview is set for August 30th this year. And we had been trying since day one. As a matter of fact, I think our first or second show, we had Don Jr. And throughout the year that we've been on, we've had some great guests like you. and we really try to put everything from social media influencers, conservative celebrities, obviously the political talking heads and pundits, experts in their fields, but a lot more importantly, real people. And I think that's why in a year's time, we have been very successful. And I think that's one of the reasons the president took notice. He was hearing, he told me, because I've talked to him now twice on the phone in the last week to get ready for to set up the interview, to get our schedules together. And he's like, everywhere I go, all they're saying is OAN and Dan Ball. And he's like, I know, I watch. And I was like, whoa. He's like, yeah, I'm a huge fan. And I was like, you're a huge fan? What? We've only been on the air a year. Plus, I always see you on Hannity and Maria Bartiromo and Judge Jean and not my show. So what gives? And it just, I don't know. Timing? We tried. My talent producer tries all the time. We reach out probably once or twice a month for the last 12 months. And it probably helped a little bit, maybe, that the wonderful Herring family, Herring Broadcasting, that owns One America News, reached out and sent 45 an email and said, you know, Dan's been trying to get a hold of the president. Any chance he'll respond? And last Thursday, he gave me a call. We had a wonderful 20-minute conversation. And then he called yesterday again for just a few minutes to reconfirm. So Monday, we're actually flying out tonight on the red eye to JFK. And Monday, we will be sitting down with 45 for, I'm hoping, the entire show. We may only get 20, 30, 40 minutes. You know, he's got a tight schedule. But I'm hoping Monday night's show will be wall-to-wall Trump. Or if I can get 45, I was thinking of calling it 45 with 45. And just You and I are military, do a rapid fire question thing with POTUS about all the crises we're facing now, thanks to a Biden regime. Because I hate the phrase, I told you so, because then we sound like whiners like the left. But if you look at the things President Trump put into place in 4 years, said on his way out would happen, are all coming to fruition in 7 months and oh, how many days? So I think it's going to be a great interview. We had really good chemistry on the phone. He and I had met about 19 years ago. I reminded him of that when I was a very small little local weekend reporter. And he wasn't even on his reality shows or anything. He was just Donald Trump, the real estate magnet. And I reminded him of that time. He remembered it. And we had a great chat. And I think folks should tune in Monday night. It'll be 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific. And we're going to find out what President Trump thinks about this mess. We will talk about his plan in Afghanistan, because he and I went over it on the phone. I also backed it up with General Kellogg and other generals that were in the room and worked with him and Pompeo negotiating the deal with the Taliban. And they all backed up and confirmed, before I even spoke with the president, exactly what he told me, how it went down. And so when the left-wing media and all the never Trumpers keep posting, this is Trump's mess, Biden's just following his plan, it's all Trump's fault, they're full of bullshit. Because first of all, the deal was for May 1, the president told me. Not to mention when 45 was on the phone with Abdul, the supreme jackass leader of the Taliban, he told him point blank. And Joe, by the way, has made no contact with the leader of the Taliban since he took over. That's one problem right there. But POTUS 45 told him point blank, if you miss one of these benchmarks, one of the goals we've set for our exit, and you deviate from the plan, and I think the press is okay with me saying this, I will rain down a fury upon you the likes the world has never seen. There'll be 20 bombs in the city that you live and sleep in. And oh, by the way, I know where you live and sleep. And the first one will be at your front effing door. And there was about a 13-second pause. And then Abdul went, yes, sir.
Because I mean, it has to be like Trump, that, though.
Yes, yeah. Because dealing with savages, as you know, and any combat vet knows, it's been face-to-face with the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, ISIS-K, whatever the hell it is. This is not a government. You don't negotiate with them. They don't negotiate. They have no morals or ethics like Americans do. They're savages. They will blow themselves up to make a point just to kill Christians. Okay?
They're terrorists, yeah.
They're terrorists. So when they watch, now you think about this. You don't have to have a degree in jack. You don't have to be an informed journalist, a military vet. You don't have to be anything. You can be my mom, who's 70-some years old, sitting at home in the apartment, right? And watch just a little bit of news and go, well, the border's a mess and there's thousands coming in. We heard that terrorists got in. Now I'm the Taliban watching that in my cave on my satellite phone. And I got Joe Biden to deal with when we exit. Screw Joe Biden. He's not going to do shit to us. Let's go crazy. Let's take back the country right now. That's what the Taliban did. It's that easy, because he did not hold their feet to the fire and punish them when they broke the agreement. But now he and the media, I watched Cuomo and the rest of those jackasses last night on CNN, MSNBC, all of them saying, yes, Biden's to blame, but he's not the only one. Let's don't forget, this was Trump's plan. No, it wasn't. Trump's plan was to exit May 1, and Trump had a different plan. You get the people out, Americans first. You get the interpreters and the civilians out second. You get our friggin' equipment out, then the troops come home. And oh, by the way, let me reiterate, if you deviate from the plan, we'll blow you to friggin' smithereens. That was the plan. And the Taliban knew, because what did Trump do when our embassy got hit in Iraq? Took out Soleimani. And we didn't know about it till it was done. Because as he said, you don't let the bad guys know what you're doing. That's why he wasn't in front of the press all the time, trying to tell them everything we're about to do.
I almost wish you could be maybe at the White House from a strategic perspective, because I feel like so many Americans are wanting to pull out their hair because they realize that this administration, I actually saw a posting yesterday, it said either they're grossly negligent or they're doing this on purpose for a reason. It's one of the two. Either way, Americans lose and they should be held accountable. And that's true. It's true. So my last question for you before you go is, I like to do calls for actions for everyone listening and subscribing to the podcast, because I feel like you and I know what's happening. Everyone listening knows pretty much what's happening. We're following politics. But what is a way that people can get involved and actually help make change? Because I do think that we are at a turning point in our country. Either we are going to go down the path of how Rome fell, or we can save it and we can actually get people elected that will, you know, bring prosperity and goodness to this country for the next, you know, 50 to 100 years to come.
Get off the couch. get off your asses. Sorry to be vulgar about it. I get emails all the time. Dan, do you have to cuss? Yeah, yes. I do. I'm cutting through the BS because let me tell you, Anna, for 20 some years, I was a good boy. I would talk my politics in the newsroom off the air behind the scenes or at home at a party over a cocktail. But I never said it on the air. I never said it on social media. I didn't say it publicly in a race of stink when I saw this country, the fabric of the country that we love, eroding until about 2-3 years ago when I ran for Congress and said, this is bullshit. And I stood up and ran. Got my butt kicked. That's okay. It was California. And then but I was licking my wounds for a couple of years. I thought literally at one point I was done. And then one day I called One America News and they had an opening. And a year later, we're the number one talk show. We're interviewing the president Monday. And last week, because a viewer called me out and said, Dan, what are you doing? You talk a lot of smack on your show about getting involved in doing stuff. And I answered back, well, we have a national talk show. It's a platform. But nope, you know what? I took it serious and good for him. He called me out and I said, what am I doing? What am I doing though, personally, in my personal life and all the time to set an example? Yes, I set an example on the show, but am I out doing, am I practicing what I preach? So I was already pissed off that my child's school is going to make her wear masks. She went back to school last week. And then I do some more digging. I didn't think it was there because she said it wasn't there. But parents tell me the CRT is in her middle school. Then I find out the sex ed stuff they're teaching is like ridiculous. I mean, fifth graders, you're talking about wearing condoms to fifth graders.
Terrible.
I find out about all three of these things and I take action. I call up a camera guy and I go, we're going to this meeting. Now, you probably have seen the video. I didn't go there trying to make a confrontation. I didn't go there trying to get ratings. I went there to document a 3-minute speech that each person from the public's allowed to make to the school board. I had a cameraman there. I did my speech. I ended. I thought that was going to be it. I was going to bring it back, put it on my program the next day and say, okay, thanks for calling me out. Now I put my money where my mouth is or whatever you want to call it. Now you do the same. And I'm going to keep going. I'll go to rallies. I'll go to whatever. I'm going to go out and help campaign for people that I think are worthy and should get in office. Like I'm going to get out and do more. And that's the example that all of us need to do. Run for that all, you know, I don't care if it's school board, city council, water board, whatever it may be. Run for
water board.
Okay. Yeah.
Not actually waterboarding, different. Yeah.
For you and I, a little double meaning, but you know what I mean. Okay. There's rural areas that have water boards and you have to, anyway, you've got to take a stand. You've got to do stuff. It took me a long time to break out of that mold where you're just used to, like you said earlier, Americans, a lot of us are asleep at the wheel. You get up, you're in your routine. You wake up, take your shower, brush your teeth, eat your breakfast, go to work, sit in your cubicle, come home, kiss the kids, go to a sporting event, go to bed. And you barely watch any politics, which is probably good for some because it'll drive you bonkers. Unless you're like you and I, we absorb it. It's what fuels us. But you have to get out there, pay attention, and then make and take a stand. Because let me tell you, I've never seen it this bad. And when 45 and I were talking yesterday before, he even said that phrase. He goes, Dan, how old are you? And I told him, and he goes, well, yeah, you don't look that. And I said, well, thank you, Mr. President. And he's like, did you ever think you'd see it this bad? And I'm like, no. I mean, we've all seen radical left wing try to take hold with different ideologies over the last few decades that I've been around, but you've never seen it this intense and this extreme. I mean, look at what in the reconciliation budget package, infrastructure, what they're trying to get done by 2030. It's in 9 years. You're talking about taking all this money, making us all go electric and redoing all these buildings pretty
and
much.
They don't talk about the fact that if we all go electric, I mean, it's going to put such a strong emphasis on China now owning all of the lithium sourcing, which powers these electric vehicles, that it really does put America, again, last in regards to the energy and codependency.
They're loving this. They were the first country when this all broke, what, 2 weeks ago, right? On that Monday morning to say, we recognize the Taliban as the leader of Afghanistan. Why? They're going to get in there and mine those minerals. They're going to make millions, if not trillions, off that. Russia is already talking to the Taliban about trying to get that pipeline finished. They always wanted to put that's going to go across Pakistan and Afghanistan. So they'll be oil independent, but we won't because our jackass of a president closed the Keystone pipeline and just asked OPEC to ramp up production so we can buy more when we had enough offshore and the pipeline. We were energy independent for the first time in decades. Thank you, Mr. Trump. And Biden screwed that one up. I mean,
well, hopefully I do think that President Trump looks like he's gearing up for a run in 2024. And I think that he's going to help take back the House. He is. He's in for it. Yeah. Ask him that.
I'm pretty sure he's in, but we'll see.
Get it on air so that we can repost it.
Well, so it's going to be a taped interview, but then we're rushing it over to our New York studio to beam it back to San Diego so they can edit it up and throw it on the air. But I will tell you, it will be raw. It'll be unfiltered. I'm not going to edit any of the sound bites. When I say edit, I mean just put some B-roll video so folks know over top of what we're talking about. But I'm not going to edit it. I don't do that. As you know, on my show, we don't do that. If we tape, if we're not live, we go direct to, I shouldn't say tape, everything's digital. Again, I'm old compared to you. But everything we do on this show is real. I don't cut around sound bites. I don't change it. When you see other people's interviews and other networks, you can tell stuff's been edited. They use the snippets. People know what I'm talking about.
Yes, 100%. No, it's the real deal with you, which is why we wanted you on the show today. You're straightforward. I think that more people need to be like you in media, 100%.
Thanks.
So real quick, before we do go, where can people follow you? Where can people obviously watch your show? I know you'd stated it earlier, but where can people stay engaged with what you're doing and tracking your progress?
Yeah. So unfortunately, because I was not paying tons of attention as far as my own social media world, when all this kind of blew up on me working for OAN and getting to number one and all this stuff at the network, my Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter were my own personal ones. When we started, I just put that I worked at OAN and I started letting my personal ones take over. But as you know, when I started publicizing that I was here and starting putting our content on, it was September, October, then we had the election. Then what happened? All the massive censorship and the shadow banning and everything else started happening. So I have no blue checks on any of my pages. They won't give me any. Oh my numbers are low as hell. They were up higher and then they went down after the big purge, right, in January. And so I just directed them to my personal ones on the air as well at the end of the show. So if it's Instagram, you're going to Dan P. Ball. If it's Twitter, because I've had this one forever, it's Dan Newsman Ball. On Facebook, you can always find my personal page, Dan Ball, but we do have a Real America with Dan Ball on OAN. So you can find the Real America page on Facebook. That's the three best ways. Or you can always just send emails to us at the station, which is realamerica@oann.com. So Perfect. It's real easy.
Yeah, what we'll do is we'll be posting your information actually within the description for this podcast link so everyone can follow you there. But Thank you so much for joining us today. I mean, I love watching your show. It's always a fresh perspective. It's no BS, which is, I think, what we need today. Obviously, Thanks. You're a vet, so I love having your humor because honestly, sometimes people don't fully understand it. So it's a select kind, but I dig it.
People got upset yesterday because I put, of course, I said, let's pray for the fallen, like we all do, right? But sometimes people don't get that military folks, and then, like I said, add on top of the journalism, which makes you a little jaded, 20-some years in this biz, and growing up with only testosterone in the house, the old man and five boys. And so in my swirl of 5-6 posts yesterday, I put a funny up in between the, you know, my, of course, thoughts and prayers, and my heart's breaking for what happened, and ripping Joe Biden for doing it. But I made a funny, like, you know, this is like the next to Hunter Biden, it's one of the worst pullouts Joe Biden's ever done or something like that, right? That he botched a pullout. Okay. And some people on our side got offended. No time to joke. Da, da, da. I'm like, look, first of all, I think, and I say this every Friday on the show, we all need a little more levity in our lives. And if you can't joke about stuff, and sorry, call me sick for joking on a morbid day, but I've had a lot of loss in my life, and I'm sure you have too. And that's how sometimes people get through stuff, is we joke. And you can still be serious. You can still pay tribute and memory to the lives lost. But it doesn't mean also you can't joke about a horrible situation, which was created by this old guy with dementia. I mean, it's almost a joke. We shouldn't laugh about it because it's so damn serious what's happening. But at the same time, if all you do 24/7, like you and I, is just live and breathe this, sometimes
we have to break it up a little bit. That's what I do, is I tell people, and also too, the best way to kind of communicate a message with people is through humor, which is why memes are so effective. So honestly, I appreciate everything you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us today.
One America News, channel 347 on DirecTV, or get the Cloud TV app. That's KLOWD, Cloud TV. That's one way to watch us, or direct. We're on lots of cable stations around the country, Anna, but they're small. There's probably a couple small ones I know in Florida watching us. If you want to get us on Spectrum, Cox, Adelphia, the big ones, you guys got to call, email, write, just bitch and complain. Same with Dish. I mean, these platforms don't want to let us on after all the crap that happened with the election, okay, right? So you literally need to call and beg. I've seen it since I've been here. A couple small towns from Oklahoma, Missouri, Ohio, Indiana called, one in Alaska even, called, and their local small cable company called us and put OAN on.
That's amazing. So,
dozen people, a couple hundred people calling and emailing, you'll get their attention and then you'll get us on the air in your neighborhood.
Well, so, we'll put that information below too. And then you interview the president Monday, 5 p.m. We should be able to see it.
It will air that night, unless, you know, lightning strikes. I hear there's going to be a lightning storm Monday in New York. We're going to be at Trump Tower. Oh, and let me just end with this. Put this on your show. Did you see the lightning strike at the White House yesterday?
I did. It was scary. I mean, it's God speaking. I swear that's what it is.
Look, I'm going to, do you remember just a few weeks back when the lightning hit in Toledo, Ohio, near my hometown, that George Floyd memorial?
Yeah. And it also hit the Washington Memorial, the monument.
Yeah. And what does God do? He sends us signs and messages. And yesterday, Joe screwed the pooch bigger than any president ever in history, I firmly believe. And maybe God was sending a little signal there to the White House.
Oh my gosh. I mean, you said it from your lips to God's ears.
There we go. We'll end on that.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We look forward to having you back and we'll talk soon.
Okay. Hey, and come on the show soon.
I will. Thank you so much. Before we go, I want to thank Dan Ball again for a great interview. And I want to thank you guys so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, please leave us a review and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. To hear more of my episodes and get my weekly newsletter, go to Gingrich360.com/Anna. You can also find me on Twitter, Parler, Facebook, Instagram, and Getter at Real Anna Paulina. And a special thank you to our producer, Drew Steele, writer Aaron Kliegman, and executive producers, Debbie Myers and speaker Newt Gingrich, part of the Gingrich 360 Network.